That's about as strong a song of consecration as you can get. Would you sing that chorus one more time?
I'll put my whole heart in His service and do all He asks of me. I mean to live holy and blameless, a Christian indeed would I be.
Wholehearted service. That's what I'm willing to do. This morning, we talked about what God can do. He can do anything. There is nothing too hard for God to be able to do. But I want to add something to it this afternoon. God has a desire for us, and we find it in the 15th chapter of John. He says, I'm the true vine, and ye are the husband. My Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. But here's the part I would like to look at this afternoon. Every branch that's bearing some fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In the 5th verse, He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. You know, I need to realize that. You remember Paul came to the table with a lot of capabilities. He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was blameless. You couldn't find anything about him that was wrong. But he said those things that were gained to him, he found to be loss. He had to give it all up because this says, I'm the vine. Jesus today is still the vine.
Yes.
We're just the branches.
Yes.
If he cuts us loose from it, it's going to be just a very short time till we're going to dry up and just be cast for the burning ourselves. Without me, ye can do nothing. But I am so thankful that it doesn't stop there. Paul got a hold to it. He realized those things were gained to him, he counted loss. But then he came to the place that once he laid those all aside, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I find here in this 15th chapter, Jesus is the vine. And I need to always realize that. And he's looking for something out of my life. His desire is what will produce more fruit. The 8th verse of that, herein, and I'd like to say this is the only way my Father's glorified, that you bring much fruit. You bear much fruit. In my life, that's the only way that he will be glorified, if I allow him to cause fruit to come in my life. How does he do that? Does he do it by always giving me everything I want? He could do it. He has all power. Jesus said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. And this morning we read of the times in troubled circumstances that God just reached in and touched a situation. He helped Jehoshaphat when he was in trouble. He helped others, Hezekiah, when he was in trouble. You know, he could bring us all out of any trouble that we're facing. But I'd like for us to think about something this afternoon. He's got a goal for each of our lives.
Yes.
What will produce the most fruit? Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, says, I went down to the potter's house, and behold, third verse of the 18th chapter, he wrought a work on the wheels. I'd like for us each one this afternoon to think about that's my life. And a lot of times I maybe look at this as being the day I get saved. He's wanting to shape something in me, and maybe I'm marred and he has to make it again. This afternoon I would like for us to think about this potter's wheel as happening every day in our life. He is trying to shape something in my life every day. He's wanting to make something that causes more fruit to be born in my life. And it happens in so simple a ways that we won't even attach it to being on this wheel. It can happen when you're in rush hour traffic and somebody cuts you off in traffic and there's something wants to rise up inside. If you could only realize, I'm on the wheel. He's desiring to make a vessel out of me that will produce the most fruit possible. Because, folks, we're living in a world where there's not much fruit to be had. May I be able to show by my life, through Christ working in me, that there's still fruit produced. There's a verse in Romans 9 and 20. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Things that come into my life every day, and if I'm not careful, I will ask, why have you made me thus? Why have you allowed this thing to come into my life? I would much rather have sunshiny days and no trouble in my life. Seems like I could produce the most fruit that way. There was a sister a few years ago in our congregation in Guthrie. Older sister, she liked to testify to people when she'd go to the grocery store and all, and she started going blind. And it was kept going, getting worse until she was completely blind. And she started praying, Lord, I want to be a witness for you. I could be a better witness if you'd give me my eyesight back, where I can go out again and meet people and testify to them. He did not give her eyesight back. In fact, it came to the point that she started having to have home health care come in. And then she had a testimony for us. She said, you know what? I used to be able to testify to somebody and they could walk off and leave if they wanted to. I said, I found out something. God has opened up a door. These folks can't leave. I can testify to them. And you know what? She rose on top of that thing. Because if she could have just realized, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. And you know, when those folks could see her blind and cannot get around and yet have peace and be able to tell them about how good God has been, folks, that's bearing much fruit. But we couldn't see it before. It seemed like it needs to go this way. It's just like me if I were at Jericho and telling God when he said march around it one time every day and the last day do it seven times and then shout. It would be like me standing up and say, God, look, there's no way that's going to work. Go ahead and get another plan. Had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I'd go astray. Folks, if I could tell God how's the best way to take me to heaven, I'm going to miss it.
That's right.
Because here, if I could just realize this, his goal is to purge me so I can bring forth more fruit. And that comes in adversity. So I would like to talk about that for a little bit this afternoon. There's a song that we sometimes sing. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith. You are never alone. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valley. Of trials and temptations. That's when our faith is really put to the test. But it didn't stop there. It said the God of the mountains, he's still God in the valleys. When things go wrong, he's going to make them right. For the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. So I'd like to talk to you about, is it possible to bear fruit in adversity? And what kind of fruit is it then? Children of Israel went into captivity. And God told them, I'm the one that did it. I have caused that you go into captivity. And also, you're going to be there 70 years. There were some other people prophesying and saying, 2 years and you'll be free again. And God was telling them, don't listen. You're going to be down here for 70 years. That's a long time. How would I have lived if God told me, I'm going to send some trouble in your life. It's really for the best for you, but you're going to have it for 70 years. How did some people react? Daniel was taken into that captivity. And I just found out yesterday in reading, it said he was 16 years old when he went into captivity. Just a very young man. But you know what? He had some values set in his life when he went. And he also allowed fruit to be born in his life. You know, there's a verse in Psalms 11 and 3. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous going to do? Are the righteous going to throw up their hands and say, there's no use. I'm going to give it up. Daniel didn't. A righteous man suffering because of the sins of others. There was a reason they went into captivity. The leaders had sinned against God. You know what? There were righteous people that suffered because of that. God didn't say, okay, those that have been living for me, they will not feel the blow of this. It will only be the leaders that have sinned. No, Daniel was taken. And there's just another little story that I'd like to put in here. When we talk about fruit in adversity, we get to see, when we're reading now, we get to see the end of the story. Those folks did not see the end of the story. They were right up in the middle of it and did not know how it would go. But I was thinking over there in Daniel, the third chapter, there were the three Hebrews that realized, you know what, I've got a choice I'm going to make right here. I can have it easier for myself if I will bow. You know, I could bow and pray to God while I'm bowing, but I won't do it. And so they realized, you know what, my end could be shortly. But they had something they said, because you know what, we get to read after that. They only saw the fire burning. And here's what they said. Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. See, this is some of that fruit that God was wanting to purge so it would bring forth more fruit. Here's the fruit that's born from that. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. This is 3rd chapter and 17th verse. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But look at this next little piece. Talk about fruit in adversity. Three words. But if not. Yes. See, we know God is able to do anything. They told him that. He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He's going to deliver us out of your hand. But we're not putting restrictions on God to tell him how he's going to do it. We're going to produce fruit however he goes from it. You know what? They could have been willing, if we burn in that fire, it's bringing the most glory to God. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they knew nothing more that would happen but that they would lose their lives. But they were willing for that. Daniel could have allowed bitterness to come into his life, and we would not be able to benefit from the fruit that came from it that we get to read about today. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know what? It could have troubled Daniel. Daniel could have been there and started thinking about the leaders that caused him, while he's loving God and setting places in his life to live for God, and the leaders caused him to be brought down there. He could have been bitter toward God. You're allowing the righteous to suffer with the wicked. He could have been bitter toward Nebuchadnezzar. I'm a slave now, and you're expecting me to serve you. Fruit in adversity. You think these are just stories from way back there and nothing applies to us today that we could bear fruit in adversity. I believe that the time is ripe for us, that people are needing to see some fruit in adversity. If it's nothing more than you handling the right attitude after seeing the direction that our government is going, and you say, I tell you what, I've been sending up some more prayers for them because prayer is the only thing that's going to help. That's some fruit in adversity. So what did they tell those folks that were taken into captivity? Build you some houses. Raise your families. Settle down in this adversity that I have sent for you. And also seek the peace of the city, because it's going to be in that peace that you're going to have peace. Does that have any application for us today? In the troubles, the trials that we come into in our life, find out where God would have us to be in that. Because there's some peace for us in the middle of that trouble. We know He has the power to take us out of it. He's looking to see if we'll apply for the grace while we're in it. So that's what He tells them, is just settle in and seek the peace of the city. So then I'd like to look at a verse over in Psalms 137. What kind of song can you be singing when you're in the middle of a trial? When you're in adversity? 137 of Psalms says, by the rivers of Babylon where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? In other words, I'm in the middle of adversity. I can't sing. I don't have a song to sing anymore. And you know what? Here it was in Babylon. Those folks were saying, that song has a tune to it. Has a ring to it I like to hear. You know what? Those songs of Zion also had a message. If those folks in the middle of adversity could say, as long as they're willing to hear the song, I'm going to sing it, because it's a message in every song that we hear about. Well, they said we can't sing. While we're in captivity, we don't have a song to sing. But I want to tell you something. Daniel had a song to sing. He was in the middle of adversity. You can't even tell that he's in adversity by the actions that he gives. There's a couple more people that had a song. At midnight, this is fruit in adversity, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Now, how can you do that? Because God was with them. Daniel, when he found out, you know what, I could go to the lion's den soon if they catch me praying again. And he still opened up his windows, still prayed three times a day, and he gave thanks to God. For what? He's a captive in a foreign land, and he's about to be bait, about to be eaten by lions. But God's with him, and that's all that matters. That's where there is fruit in adversity. And then if God, and he did, he chose to bring him out of that lion's den. And what was Daniel's attitude? What kind of fruit comes in adversity? When Daniel came out of the lion's den, there were many things he could have said to the king. And what did he say? O king, live forever. See, there's no connection between me and desiring to see you hurt. God is the one that's allowing into my life the things that are happening. I have only desire for good for you. There was another example of Daniel. You remember when he got the dream of Nebuchadnezzar's and he realizes this is what that dream means? What did he say to Nebuchadnezzar? Did he say, I tell you what, you're finally going to catch. You're finally going to reap for what you've been sowing. I ought to have been back there at Jerusalem now living for God, and you've got me down here. No. He said, I wish this dream was for your enemies. I don't even wish that you would have trouble. My desire is that way. Folks, that's some fruit in the middle of adversity. I look at some other people that bore fruit in the middle of adversity. One of them was Joseph. When he went from one step to another, and all he had had was a dream that somewhere out in here something's going to happen. And my understanding is it was 13 years of his life was given fruit in adversity. And we today are able to reap from it. When he goes down to Potiphar's house and he makes a decision, I'm going to be the best servant I can be. And God blesses his efforts at Potiphar's house. When he has done wrong, he does not allow bitterness to come in. He's going to be the best prisoner that there can be. And they started honoring him. And he just gave his life to God. He doesn't say, Lord, it's been 10 years now. You're going to have to do something now. He just left it in God's hands. To me, that is an example for us. Daniel and Joseph both hold the key for us. There's a song that we sing, enemies may strive to injure. Satan, all of his arts employ. God will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. You know what? This really is not only about here. It's about me making heaven my home in the end. And that will be everlasting joy. Job, fruit in adversity. A man that says richest man of the East in the first chapter of Job. And in one chapter, it's all gone. And he holds his integrity with God. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I would like for us, when we go from here, to remember when we read the 15th chapter of John, and he's talking about, I want some more fruit, so I'm going to trim this up so more fruit can be produced. More fruit sometimes is produced when more trouble comes our way. When it does, help me to not look at the person who maybe caused the trouble, but to ask, God, what kind of fruit are you wanting from my life? Here's some fruit that came from Joseph's. When he had opportunity to meet his brothers again, he was on top now and they're on the bottom. And how does he treat them? It wasn't you that put me here. It was God. Folks, there's victory for us in that time. And it's fruit for the world to be able to taste and see. David came to a time when, let's look at it in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, came to a time when he comes back. You know, God has helped him out in so many battles, but he comes back to Ziklag, and they've got a big problem. His guys are kind of worn out from battle anyhow, and it says, found out that the Amalekites, first verse of 30th chapter, had invaded the south and Ziklag, smitten Ziklag, burned it with fire, had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. It says in the fourth verse, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever wept that long? Everything's gone now. Well, they still had a little bit of power because it says David was greatly distressed, sixth verse, because the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But look at this. In the middle of all of that, David bore fruit in adversity. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know what? In the middle of our biggest trials, may we run to God. May we encourage ourselves in the Lord if nothing else around me seems to encourage me. There is a verse of a song. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and my stay. There's another verse over in Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. To realize there is a place that I can run to in my greatest trials when I can't see why I'm in it or what good is going to come from it. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, we read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it acts like this chapter is going to be too long unless we just put a bunch of them into one verse. What more can I say? What about this one and this one and this one? There's one that has been left out that I'd like for us to think about for just a little bit. It's in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. When we talk about Naaman the leper, a lot of times what we do is we will follow the story of Naaman. We will learn where he went to the prophet's house and found out he needed to dip in the Jordan River and he didn't want to do it. But you know, there was something before that ever happened. There was someone who was bearing fruit in adversity, a little maid. He didn't even know about there could be healing down there until she told, "I wish he could go down where I lived. He could be healed of his leprosy." Can you imagine that? It would be so easy for a person to say, "He's got leprosy, it's good enough for him. I should be home with my parents and my family." But instead, in the middle of adversity, fruit is born. To where she could say, "You know what I'm really thinking about is, I'm sorry, he's sick. And I know where he can meet up with God to heal him." What about us today? Jesus said, "In me, you might have peace." He has got it available for us. And you know where it's going to come from? Right here. Me yielding myself to him. Realizing that, you know, for him to trim the branches so they'll bring forth more fruit is painful. But my desire to be, "Lord, I want you to get the best benefit out of my life as possible. That my Father might be glorified." May we each one see adversity is where that happens the most. And we'll be glad to be out on the other side of it. But while we're there, let's ask the Lord. "Lord, get the mileage out of my life that you want to have. And help me to yield to it." I'd like for us to close with a song. Number 147. You know, this song, when I really look at it, it tells me who I am and who God is. And I need to always remember this. You know, he made me from dust, and I'm going back to dust. This says, I realize it, I'm only an earthen vessel that Jesus may use as he will. Whether much I may do in his vineyard or small be the place that I fill, I'm only an earthen vessel, but Jesus has pleasure in me. When, while I gladly submit to his purpose, a vessel to honor I'll be, and it'll be fruit for the world to be able to tell. You know what? They can tell when we're in adversity. They're watching, and they're watching how we handle it. It's not in our own power that we do it. It's in yielding to him. So when we take this morning's message, God can do anything. You know what? I can push that thing to where I say, "God, you've got to heal me. That's the best thing for me. I have got to realize," or any other trouble that we're faced with, "I have got to realize God's in heaven and I'm down here on earth. He can see so much farther than I can see. So let me just take his hand and say, Lord, lead me today. And tomorrow I'll get back up on the potter's wheel again, because there may be some more shaping that you need to do. But I want it to all bring glory to God." I desire your prayers.